Hey, welcome back to Keepin' Cozy. Today we're talking to the rapper Lil B, who you've probably heard of for either his social media fame or for his music with hit songs like Berkeley. We talk a little bit about social media marketing, his, you know, use of the internet and how he's able to blow up on it, and just a little bit about, you know, content creators and, you know, the spiritual and creative aspect of creating content in general. So thank you for watching this, and I hope you enjoy, and please be sure to like, comment, and, you know, share it with anyone who you think may find it valuable. Thank you so much, guys. Your support really means a lot to me, and I hope you enjoy. Thank you.
But yeah. It's beautiful. I'm happy to be alive. What about you, man? How you doing on your side?
Bro, I'm chilling, man. I spent the day kind of just chilling in this room trying to, you know, waiting to talk to you, but I also watched a lot of Batman, so.
Yes. Yes. Which Batman?
The animated series. So you probably grew up with that.
Yeah, that's actually a very rare. I think that used to come on Channel 2. Channel 2. Sunday morning, cartoons. So yeah, Batman the animated show is very, very rare, man. I like your taste right there. You probably got some other exclusive shows you watch. What not Animorphs, was that what it's called? Or not Animorphs, but it was Beast Wars. Are you a Beast Wars kind of guy?
No.
Remember that?
No. Just mainly just because I grew up with it. I don't really watch too much TV. I watched a lot of you though this past
week. Nice, man.
I watched all of your lectures. I watched your interview with Noisy, and I thought those were pretty cool. And I drank the Lil B Kool-Aid, man. It was really interesting to see what you were about, and I'm honored to be speaking with you. And I'd love to start the podcast, you know, not trying to take too much
time. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I guess I'd like to start by welcoming you to Keepin' Cozy, Lil B. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you, man. It's very cozy. You know what I'm saying? And that's the way we got to keep it. So shout out to the new generation of, you know, press, publication, journalist, media outlets, you know what I'm saying? Education, you know what I'm saying? Thinkers. So it's an honor to be here.
Can you give a shout out to Boston College? I'm sure that'll get a lot of kids. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Big, big shouts out to Boston College, all my Bostonians. You dig? Have fun, man. Have fun.
Dude, peace, man. I guess the first question I want to ask you is, what are you up to during quarantine? Are you recording? What are you, any other projects?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been recording. I've been working on some production. I'm actually in the process. Now, this is a first. Your podcast is getting this first. This is the first time I've ever talked about this, so shout out to Boston. I'm actually working on my second ambient project, with the bass god. It's actually between me and you, first time ever to hear this. It's called Darkness Okay. So this is going to be straight ambient, you know. I'm really excited about it. You know, ambient electronic style music and, something that I'm super proud about and happy to add to the culture with that. But on the flip side, I've definitely been rapping, working on new mixtapes. You know, Hoop Life Volume 2 is the mixtape that is coming up next. Yeah. And super excited about that. Super excited about that. And Hoop, you know, because of what's going on in the NBA right now, you know, the quarantine style play and everything. So I thought it would be perfect time to, you know, intertwine things and kind of get everything and the ideas out with that out right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, just, you know, really learning, you know, working on my focus. I'm really working on figuring out ways that I could learn to focus more, you know, sit in places and just be able to, you know, dedicate and delegate time to learn. And I think actually you're somebody who I can really learn from on that aspect. I mean, how do you focus? I mean, how do you, you know, what is some advice you can give me on focus?
Dude, I don't know if I'm the person to give advice on focus. It's just
right. Oh, no.
With this, bro. with this, I was like, I got a chance to speak with Lil B. So I'm really like, I'm going to sit here and wait until Lil B is free to speak with Lil B.
Love it. I mean, and that means everything. I mean, at the same time, I mean, look, you're in Boston College, so that takes a level of focus and legendary, you know, legendariness within yourself. So, I mean, how, and thank you as well, you know, for taking time out for me. That means everything. How did you get, you know, to Boston College? I mean, that takes a level of education, like we're going to focus and just wanting, you know, and I guess what it shows is that if you're interested in what you're learning or if you're interested in what you're doing, then you're going to excel at it, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, I mean, it's also like, you know, my parents are immigrants, so we had like this mentality of you have to like, you know, try to do better than the past mm-hmm. generation. So that's kind of, and that's a lot of like, you know, Asian American people who come mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. I think what's mm-hmm. interesting though is like, there's like the younger kids are more on the internet, you know, like they grow up with the internet a lot more than my generation, which is like
right.
kids who are 22. But kids who are 16 now, like they've grown up like on the internet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When did you first start using the internet?
Oh yeah, and what's funny? I think you just heard a little computer sound in the background.
Yeah.
Shout out to the PCs, you know what I mean? You know, Alienware, Intel, you know, the core i7 ninth generation. No plugs. We're not giving any plugs. But when I started the internet, you know, probably, you know, early days. I mean, do you remember Web TV?
No, bro.
I can tell I'm older than you. But yeah, Web TV kind of, it was like, that was like the first kind of like internet that you can hook up to your TV and like you could web browse from your TV. It was actually pretty cutting edge for the time. And this was before, I think, the year 2000, maybe. So, I mean, do a little research on that, man. Check Web TV.
Yeah.
On Google.
Were you hooked? Were you hooked to Web TV? Because you're, when I think of Lil B, and when most people think of Lil B, they think of like the internet rapper personality, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. like your reputation is so intertwined with like the internet. I'd love to talk a little bit more about that, but I'd love to just know like what was it like when you first started using it? Were you like, was it like a drug for you? Was it like, what was it like?
Yeah, I mean the internet, you know, and how it's transformed, you know, because I mean, I like I said, I come from the internet where, you know, the early days, I mean, I used to see a part of the transition where like you see the IMAX that looked like a, you know, that you could see through the desktop, you know, like when you could actually see through them, the older IMAX, and then the you know, the square kind of IMAX that had, I forgot which games on Adobe Trail or something like that, or you know, the old, you know, so you know, going through that process, and then, and that was early, you know, like I mean elementary school for me, something like that, and you know, but you know, then like, you know, the typewriters and stuff like that, then we get to, you know, later 2000s, you know, internet's become, you know, but I don't even know if like Wikipedia was out then and stuff like that. So it was kind of like a wild, wild west. Like this is when, you know, AOL was kind of like the biggest thing, you know, it wasn't like Google, you know, so it was a blessing to just see the transitions within the internet and kind of seeing the where it's at now, where it's like the age of information is one of the songs that I have. And, you know, like that's kind of where we're at now, where it's like, yeah, you know, you can ask your phone a question, and there's so, you know, people, you know, what I guess what I want to say is that the internet's become centralized. I think that's the word, you know, where like everybody knows where to go now, you know. It's like, all right, well, most people have a smartphone, most people, you know, have some type of internet access, and that's kind of like the really cool thing, which now makes music intertwined with life and just everything like that. So, I mean, it's really exciting.
Yeah, could you talk a little bit about like just you and the pack and like dropping the song Vans and the early stage of MySpace and how you were able to blow up there?
Of course, of course. Yeah, man. Shout out to the pack, man. I just was with Young L. Happy late birthday to Keith, Stunner Man, and major love and shouts out to DeMonte Lil Uno. Young L just showed me one of his songs recently. And it was amazing. Uno's, you know, doing great at rap. But, you know, how we met, it was just very, you know, a special time, a pure time, you know, just being kids. I met Young L and when I was in high school, I was going to Albany High, you know, shout out to the Albany High. You know, I think they're called the Cougars, you know, Albany High Cougars, you dig. You know, shout out to El Cerrito High also, you know, really the whole Alameda County, Contra Costa County, you dig, like, but, you know, going to Albany High, I met the legend Young L, and, you know, we just grew a bond together just for the love of music, hanging out, you know, we would hang out, listen to music, ride the bus, you know, just have casual conversation, laugh a lot, you know, there's a lot of laughing. You know, within our friendship, and that's like a beautiful thing to always look back on. Like, man, we had a lot of jokes and just a lot of fun times. So, you know, eventually with, you know, working with Young L and like him, me and him starting to work on some music together because he was making beats and I was rapping. Now, before we met, we didn't know that each other, you know, did those specific things. Like Young L, he made beats and give a big shout out to his mother, Lynn, who made it possible. You know what I'm saying? She's a legend as well. That's his mom who, you know, facilitated everything and helped the group get to performances and parties and just gave us the real chance to be young kids and have fun. But with a safe and a stable structure. And so, you know, like with us, you know, like I said, I met Young L high school band. We started working on music. Then he introduced me to his friend Keith because they skateboarded together and they were friends. And Keith introduced the group to DeMonte, you know, because they knew each other from around Berkeley or something like that because they stayed near each other. And maybe they knew each other from Berkeley High School as well. Now, a lot of people think I went to Berkeley High, but I didn't. You know, I hear a lot of people that tell me, they're like, hey, I remember you, we went to school together at Berkeley High. I'm like, okay. But I didn't go there. I went to Albany High. I went to El Cerrito. So that was pretty much how everything, you know, formulated. And then we really started making music together. Now, a big part, and what I'm an advocate for is, like I said, you know, I want to give a shout out to Young L's mom, Lynn, because, you know, being kids and stuff, she gave us a place to record at Lloyd's house. You know, she gave us food.
Yeah.
You know, us being kids and stuff like that. So anytime we were there, she would cook for us or something like that. She would just be there for support. You know, take us to parties and be, you know, and be there, you know.
Now, what about like just using social media? Was that something you guys did from the start, or is that something you were like, you were making music and then all of a sudden you were like, oh shoot, we should be posting this onto like MySpace or YouTube?
Right. Yeah. We were doing it first. And then, cause I believe we were making music before like MySpace and stuff, before it came popular. Now it was probably out, but you know, like we were out before all that, you know, like it wasn't really too many ways to promote yourself back then online besides the traditional ways of, you know, getting a record deal, which we got, but and that record deal was with Sony BMG Jive Records. Shouts out to Too Short because we signed with Too Short as well, and you know, so that was legendary. But you know, it was, now back then also too, there were music programs that, you know, me and my friends were into, and I'm not talking about like music programs for school, I'm talking about like Morpheus, Kazaa, WinMX, Napster,
yeah,
but you know, stuff like that. So I mean, that was a big way, we was a big you know, chunk of how we were getting our music, but it was very interesting.
When did you start to like branch off for yourself and become Lil B? And then when did you start to become like a huge presence on social media? Like, you followed like 1.4 million people on Twitter, and like the story is that you did that by yourself.
Yes.
You talk
true story.
Yeah, because you talk a little bit about that. I think that's really fascinating.
Thank you. And it's funny, we're talking about it while I'm scrolling a mouse down right now, and I'm just thinking about my hand, and I'm like, man, you know, praying for no carpal tunnel, you know, praying for the health of my, but, you know, so coming, you know, so doing the group, you know, we come up with different music and stuff that, you know, some stuff ends up popping off. People end up really liking the music because, you know, we're getting it around the people. We're at the malls, letting people hear our music. We're at parties. We got a lot of different people behind us, DJs, and just a lot of different people that want to see us win. Our music ends up getting on the radio, and then it kind of just goes up from there. You know, it's just very surreal. Now, years later, after our record deal and stuff like that, got a chance to have some downtime. And, you know, also I want to give a shout out to Indie Pop. Those guys played a big role in our career too. Josh, Ben, Carlo, the whole Indie Pop team over there. You know, shout out to the Cataracts, Dev. You know, even shout out Yuna.
Yeah.
And, you know, shout out DJ Carnage as well. And so, you know, but so, you know, after the group, you know, we have some downtime just to do, you know, do our thing and think about where we're going to go and stuff like that. You know, I put it upon myself. I'm like, you know, I definitely want to do my own thing. And when, you know, the group never broke up or anything like that, but I just, you know, I've always been an artist that needs to get my point across. Like, I just love music so much, and I'm still explaining to the world my, you know, multi facets, I think, if that's the word, or just the different, you know, the different pieces upon who I am, you know what I'm saying? And through music. So I'm explaining myself through music and art. Now, some stuff is exaggerated. Some stuff is, you know, I'm creating moods and vibes and stuff like that. So, you know, you can't say, oh, everything, you know, in my music, that is me. But what it is, I consider myself like a producer that creates movies or something like that, you know, but as well as I act in them, you know, and, you know, I'm creating, and, you know, I'm making the music for him. And, you know, Lil B is the main character. And shout out to the bass guy as well. But that's how I'm seeing it. So, you know,
could you explain that a little? Could you explain that for some people who don't get the distinction between Lil B and the bass god and the bass movement?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah, bass means staying positive, being yourself, doing what you want, not letting people, you know, change you up, or, you know, and loving people for who they are. That's what bass means. Bass is positive. Lil B, the bass god, is the ultimate positive. The bass god is the ultimate positive, the most bass being, you know, just accepting, you know what I'm saying? The most accepting, just the most loving. And that's what I strive to be. That's who I strive to be. And Lil B, that's Lil B. You know, Lil B speaks for itself. But, you know, the bass god is who I strive to be. And Lil B is the bass god. So, you know, that's pretty much how it is. But going back to what we were talking about with, you know, how I got on, you know, started with. So, you know, I just started making music and releasing it through MySpace. And that's what, you know, so look, we were doing that as a group. And then, you know, and MySpace was still a big platform at the time when I, you know, had some downtime. So I just started creating pages and, you know, putting 5 songs minimum each page and stuff like that. And I ended up having a couple hundred pages. And, you know, just building fan bases on each page and stuff like that. And it was really special, man. And having to remember emails and stuff like that, I mean, you could only imagine. But, you know, it was just a super special time and, you know, created a loyal, you know, support base doing that, which transferred to, you know, the next generation and the next level, which ended up being like the Twitter, Instagram and stuff like that. But what's funny is I actually got on Instagram late. I seem kind of to get on online platforms a little bit late sometimes. Just to see, I like to kind of keep my hand on the pulse of the people and what the people are going to be on, and, you know, just kind of make sure I'm not the only person on there. But yeah, that's kind of how it started.
Yeah. No. So when you were doing like this MySpace stuff or even Twitter, were you thinking of it as like marketing, or were you just like just being, you know, was it just like, was there any intention for like, I guess profit, yeah, but then also just like, what was your mind like? Were you like, okay, I'm going to do this to promote my music, or was it just like, I'm just going to do whatever and see what happens?
Yeah. Like it was definitely both. You know, I've always had a marketing mindset, but as well as the music, because the music comes first. The music comes even before money. The music was, that's what I was marketing. You know, I was marketing the music because I want to get the message out there. I want to make people feel better, and I wanted people to know that they have a friend. You know, and you know, the type of sounds that I was using in the music or what I was rapping about, because that was pretty much before I was producing, like, a lot. Now, I was always producing here and there within the catalog of my music and stuff like that. But, you know, just the beats that I chose and other things like that, I would make sure that there was love involved on every level, because that's what I was really trying to get across, is when you put those headphones on and you listen to Lil B, I wanted you to feel like you were getting a hug or, you know, you were with a buddy and you were going through another world, you know, and which is bass world.
Yeah. Well, what about a song like in the song of Age of Information, you know, it's like, it's an amazing song, but it doesn't feel like it's a very, like, it feels like it's a very, like, I guess, dystopian song almost.
Where yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, right. Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about, like, do you think the internet is dystopian? What was your mindset like with that? And like, what do you want your fans or your listeners or just the general public to think of from like that kind of song?
Man, and can you give me the definition of dystopian just so I can make sure I'm on the right page with you? I mean, are you thinking like kind of like desert like, or how?
No, I'm thinking like just like apocalyptic, like, you know, like, right. like if Thanos won, like in the event.
Got you. Yeah, no, definitely, man. I mean, it definitely has those vibes, and really, you know, coming across as like, you know, the internet, like kind of like, giving people I think if the correct word is like a forbearance, just giving people an understanding of like, this is what's coming, you know, like it's because when I make that song, not everybody was on YouTube yet, you know, like not everybody was, there was people still denying the internet, you know, internet deniers, you know, and there was a lot of people. So, I mean, think about it like this. If you were investing in the internet early at that time, you were winning. I mean, because you got to realize people was talking about Bitcoin back then. I knew about it, but I wasn't savvy enough at that time to make, I wasn't even thinking, because I, you know, at the same time, I was still working hard on, you know, my, just getting a place in society, you know, working on getting a stable position in society. So I wasn't really even thinking about investing because I really didn't have capital to invest, but I knew about, so like, I mean, that was that early time, man, you know, and Age of Information, you know, I think some of the lines I said in there, I was like, the Age of Information, I grew up but never blew up, I'm knowing one day I'll be your big dog, Colombian cocaine, white with lavish women surrounding me in my carriage. The only time I call a chick now is Bloody Mary, you know? And it's just, you know, and shout out to, you know, Coogi Rap and all the hip hop artists that were before me that gave me a platform to be able to express myself, because, you know, I'm keeping that song was very traditional rap song in the sense of paying respects to that style, but as well as, you know, anything that I do is not traditional, but yeah, you know, a traditional hip hop listener can understand that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I may be wrong in saying this, but from my limited understanding of Notorious B.I.G., it kind of sounded like your voice kind of sounded similar to his.
Thank you.
So thank you. That's why I really liked it. And I thought the message was fascinating, because now if you go online, it's crazy, you know, before even, I guess Trump was like part of making it extremely polarized. But even before then, you know, there was a lot of cancel culture. There was a lot of like just anger on the internet. And is that like that you were speaking, or do you think you were being forbearing to that?
Yes, I think a lot of that, you know, that I definitely do. Yeah, with the culture, that everything, like the anger upon the internet. I mean, it's sad to see, but at the same time, it's like these are real people that are, these aren't bots, hopefully not, you know what I'm saying? Which they very well could be. But, you know, I mean, a lot of these replies and these comments are people, man. And these are things that people feel. And, you know, it's just very interesting. And, you know, just putting out that early message, yeah, to spread love and to let people know, like, man, this is where we're at, and this is what's on the way, man. Like, I mean, this is before there was no TikTok out. There was, you know, I mean, up there probably was maybe Instagram barely back then, but that was a new thing. But I mean, this is before a lot of, I mean, this was before Tesla. Tesla wasn't out. They might have been, you know, thinking about it and having it in the works, but this was a different time in the world, you know?
Yeah, 10 years ago. It was a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that, I mean, think about it, man. The thing is, it was a long time ago, and at the same time, it went by extremely fast.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, 10 years, man. Now, it'll be interesting, you know, when we get to 20 years. Now, my question for you is, I mean, what's changed for you within this 10 years? How have you seen the world change?
Well, I mean, 10 years ago, I was like 12. So, like, I was a kid, but I've totally, I mean, I think the thing that happens when you get older in general is like your understanding of the world just expands, you know, like
you just
realize how big the world is. And I think the internet definitely plays in some ways a positive role.
Yes, it does.
Like you can, you know, you and I connected over the internet.
Yes.
And it's also like, I mean, I feel bad for like, I have little cousins who are like 10, and I wonder what it's going to be like for them when they're growing up. Cause now growing up from like, there's a word you learn in college called excarnation. And the word excarnation means like the essence of being a human is intertwined with being a computer or using the internet. And it's true. Mm. We literally, I mean, like you talk a lot about spending all of your time online, and people in general are addicted to their smartphones. So it's this excarnation that I think is happening. And it's weird. Like, I think you and I are lucky because we have, like, I remember when I was a kid, like when I was, you know, under the age of 10, the internet was something I'd use for homework or to like every now and then watch YouTube. But I also had other things. But now kids grow up and it's either the internet or it's Fortnite and stuff like that, you know, and it's always connected.
That's amazing. Yeah, 100%, man. I wonder what the new generation is feeling right now. And like you said, the people that are 15, 16 growing up in this, and I consider you the new generation too. Like you said, you was 12, 10 years ago. So, I mean, you're definitely a young man, young person, or whatever you consider yourself. I'm not going to call you man or whatever. That's your choice to be who you want to be. But as a young, a kind person and a young spirit, you know, I just wonder what this new generation of people think, man, and about what's going on, you know, what's going on in the world. Very interesting.
What do you think? You think that they're going to grow up to be like just very negative, you know, like the negative parts of the internet, or are they going to grow up to be like the positive parts of the internet where it's like more connected, or is it going to be the, like, you know, cancel culture or like angry internet? What do you think it's, what do you think it's going to be?
Yeah, I think I'm praying for the best, but, you know, it's going to be rough for a while, just because the internet has a lot of, I mean, literally you can write anything and it could be published or become a story, or I mean, you know, you can go edit someone's Wikipedia right now, you know, and literally write, you know, their so-called history up or something like that. So it's a unique time, as well as like just being, you know, like you said, there's a lot of followers, there's a lot of leaders, and there's people, I mean, the internet's very polarizing, that, you know, people know how to use it and stuff like that, that know how to use it. I mean, it's a very powerful tool. It's dangerous in ways, and but it's a beautiful thing in ways too. Like you said, this is how we met. And there's a lot of other great people and information on the internet. So, I mean, ultimately I'm feeling optimistic about it. It's just going to be rough spots for people that are growing up in it. And, you know, cause being a kid and stuff like that, it's not that easy to have your own ideas or think for yourself. You know, and it's just, you know, the experiences of different people too, you know, lifestyles, cultures, how, you know, and that all plays a part into how you, you know, with the conformity and stuff like that, and
yeah,
which is good or bad, you know, there's no good or bad.
Do you think the internet kills creativity? Because like a lot of creativity comes when you're, I don't know if the right word's isolate. I mean, you definitely could speak a word of this, but it comes when you're alone, right? When you're by yourself and you're thinking freely. But because when people are always online, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think isolation definitely plays a big part. It can help a lot if you're that type of person that appreciates that. I definitely appreciate being alone at times. I also appreciate kind of like a cat. I think a cat, you know, one of my adopted cats taught me the essence of being around people, but maybe not, you know, hugging them or being all on them, but just being around. Because like sometimes my cat will just appreciate being around me, like just sit next to me or something. She might not sit on my lap or be cuddly with me as I might want, but her, you know, my cat's way of showing the affection is just sitting right next to me and hanging out. So I say that to say, you know, isolation is great for creativity, as well as, you know, there's other ways of getting, like you might just go to a coffee shop just to be around people. You might spark up a conversation, you might not, but just being around people makes you happy. Now there's times where you go into social settings just for the motivation. Or you'll go into nature and, you know, just being around nature or being around some water, or being around people that are in nature can bring up great vibes and, you know, giving you not humbleness, but, it is, you know, not humility, but it's just, you know, a form, you know, just a form of in awe. Yeah, definitely in awe, and a form of, you know, meditation. You know what I'm saying? Just being out, as well as being by yourself. So, but answering your question about does the internet kill creativity, I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think it does promote creativity. I think the internet, because I mean, that's where you can get it to the people. You know, and I think first creativity just has to be within you, and whether critiqued or not, but you know, the creative spirit has to be in you.
And well, does everyone have a creative spirit within them?
Yes. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Just like everybody has a beautiful voice. Everybody has a place, and because I feel like you would be an amazing artist or amazing rapper or whatever type of music you want to make, because you have a specific experience that's very special and that people deserve to hear. And it's not even about culture or anything like that. It's just about you being a human, if you consider yourself that. I'm not going to tell you what you're not, you know, but you being you, right, and the beautiful spirits you are, that is an experience that can be capsulated and put into different art forms. And the world deserves to hear your voice, you know, the world deserves to hear your writing. But your voice is right now, right? So we're hearing you right now. We're seeing you. So you're giving to the world, which what we need. Now there's another medium like music.
Yeah.
You know, that would be beautiful to hear you on that too. And everybody has their place, because it's not about judging and saying, for me, I'm not going to say it's bad. I've never heard any bad music, because I take it as people trying their best and to come with, you know, or even if they're not trying their best, they were brave enough to try, and that in itself is a big thing.
I think part of like the hesitation some people have towards starting any creative project, or just maybe any, like, I think to an extent even entrepreneurship is a form of, you know, creativity or expressing yourself. People are nervous of failing. Like, I think and it's probably more scary if you're a rapper or you're a singer, because then you're really being vulnerable to the public. And I guess there's two things that can happen. You can get made fun of by people, or, you know, perhaps even worse, just no one cares, you know? And I think, what do you think about that? Like, that hesitation?
100%, man. It's very, very much a real thing. But once again, if you have one follower on social media, that shows you someone cares. That's one person. And so, I mean, you're lucky that anybody's lucky to get any type of support, man. And you gotta take that with pride and take that. You fail when you don't try. And it's debilitating sometimes thinking of the future, but we have to let the future go. And we have to be for right now. And that's easier said than done. But we have to let that go, be for now, say, what can I do right now? I'm going to attempt to right now. This is what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to do it right now. And I'm going to do it for the love of it. And appreciate if you get any feedback, any level of feedback, be happy, because like you said, nobody has to listen.
Yeah. Well, I guess kind of just bringing it back a little bit to your life, you know, you talk a lot about like how when you were younger, you struggled a lot with, like, I guess just feeling sad. And, you know, a lot of people feel that same way. How were you able to like overcome a lot of that, like, you know, internal stuff, and just become like this guy who's, you know, leading the based movement and stuff like that?
100%, man. 100%. I mean, really, you know, it just took time, trial and error, you know, trial and error. Love, the love of people, you know, figuring out who I was, man, figuring out who I was and who I am, what, you know, what life means to me, what humans, you know, human life means to me, what other people's lives mean to me. And, you know, that was like my biggest thing. So it took time to just figure all that out. You know, it's not an easy thing. You know, it's not easy to, you know, figure out who, you know, just what's important to you. But I think the main thing is remembering what are your core values. You know, your core values of, you know, being positive, being happy, loving people. You know, even if we make mistakes, do you still actually love and care about people? If you do, that's a big plus and you're on your way. Now, sometimes, it, you know, it might be rough. You know, sometimes we have low self-confidence. Sometimes, you know, we might not have low self-confidence, but, you know, in the public setting, things might not be easy for us because we might want to talk and relate to everybody, which we have the power to and which we can. But sometimes we might overthink things, or sometimes other people aren't accepting and ready to talk how we might want to, or they might be in a place where they're judgmental and things like that. And they're putting, you know, projecting their insecurities on us. But, you know, I think it's just time, trial and error, and you figure out who you are and what you represent, and you know, you just say, you know, I love life, man. I love life. And
so is that how you became, I guess, comfortable in your own skin?
A big way, yeah. I think that's a big part in how I became comfortable in my own skin. Yeah, I think that is. For the simple fact that like I said, yeah, I had to go through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to go through it.
And I guess, would you consider yourself like over the hurdle? Like, do you think, you know, you're at a more based state of being now?
Right, right. I think that is going to be a lifelong journey, which makes life fun. That's what a super fun part of about life, because, you know, you're consistently learning about yourself, because I just became even better today, you know, spiritually. And, you know, with forgiveness, I think forgiveness makes us better. You know, being, and that comes on many levels, even if you're forgiving yourself. You know, so I think that'll be, it'll be a forever journey to accomplish, you know, that form. But I mean, once it's all said and done, and you know, our final days are near, then we can reflect and smile and realize how we got here.
Yeah, well, kind of to bring it back to, like, you were talking about, anyone can be an artist, anyone can, like, you know, sing or rap, but like rap, you know, a lot of the, you know, one of the things that you're really, really famous for is for making hip hop more inclusive. Like guys, yeah, like Lil Yachty and I guess, yep, I think to an extent Chief Keef have said you specifically, yep, have helped, like, yep, them become more comfortable with their skin. So I guess, like, I guess one question, yeah, off of that is, like, how does it feel to have inspired those kinds of people? But then also, you know, like, yeah, yeah, how did that feel?
It's an honor to hear the likes of, like you said, like a Lil Yachty or Chief Keef. Those gentlemen are shaping music now, and we're all playing a part. You know, like I said, I definitely feel like I still just started and I got a lot more to do. But for the new generation, like these guys are young, so these are going to be the guys that are going to be carrying the torch for the next, you know, the next generations to come. I'm going to be doing the same. But like I said, this is for this. So, you know, to be a part of these gentlemen's careers just by inspiring and doing my job, that's what I came into music to do. So all I can do is be happy, because I wanted to spread the love. I came into music to say I wanted more people to be able to make money from hip hop and make music and make it, you know, everybody included. And now look where we're at today, you know, from 10 years ago till now. Look at how many people are making money within hip hop. And hip hop is music, you know? And this is where, And hip hop is love. No matter what anybody says, hip hop is love. Hip hop is expression. Hip hop is freedom. And this is what we're pushing for. And everybody deserves to have their voice heard.
You're from Berkeley, which is totally gentrified because of the internet in a lot of ways and because of tech. Can you talk a little bit about how Berkeley has changed and just, you know, what is California like now?
Yeah. It's very interesting. I think Berkeley always had a aspect of being gentrified. Now, I don't know if we're talking about like gentrification due to like wealth and having, you know, money, or gentrification due to a certain ethnicity or race of people, I believe. But I'm not, yeah, like, because if it's the ethnicity or race of people, it's always been mixed in Berkeley. It's always been but now money-wise, it's you're not really getting nothing around here if you don't got a million, and that's really not going to get you too much out in Berkeley, you know what I'm saying? If you're trying to own it. So that shows you right there where what's going on. People came in and they locked it up. And that's rough, man. That's rough, because if you didn't have wealth, or you were lucky enough to be an immigrant whose parents or whose family has a strong background and mentally, as well as being able to accumulate wealth, from education or investments or something like that, it could be rough, man. It could be rough. Like a lot of the people is struggling, man. A lot of people are struggling out here, man. I mean, I grew up in Berkeley, low income housing. So it was pretty ironic, because I mean, to grow up in low income housing in Berkeley is like one of the most beautiful, like you wouldn't even know. I mean, the place that I stayed looks like the place that you would see in San Francisco always. The views that I had, the access to local stores, the quality of person that was around me. Now, mind you, in my complex, there was maybe a lower vibration of people, not all of them, but there was a lower vibration of people in ways due to the low income, and which will drive most people crazy. So you can't blame them. But it was just very interesting, man. Very interesting.
Yeah. And like how have those communities just been impacted by the fact that like everyone who, like, as you said, who lives in Berkeley has like $1 million to buy a house or something like that?
Right. It impacted the people a lot. Like if you weren't, I mean, I've seen people that I went to my old complex where I used to stay, Ocean View Apartments in Berkeley, California, West Berkeley, California, to be exact. And some of the people that have been there have been staying there 15, 20 years, and they're lucky, they're lucky. I don't know how they're still there. It must be a fix, it must be rent control.
Yeah.
Which I think too, I think Berkeley does have rent control one. And, I mean, Berkeley is one of those kind of places that if you're there, you've been there, you're probably not going to leave, because you're not going to find too much better than what you got down there, Now, I'm not going to say that, because there's obviously other beautiful places. Yeah. But, I mean, once you start comparing, that's where it gets rough. So you don't want to compare. But because you're going to, where are you going to move for that price with that type of prestige that Berkeley carries, et cetera,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess kind of staying on that topic, you're a rapper, and like hip hop culture is pretty big on like you know, money and like flexing money. I guess I want to start by asking you, like, what are your thoughts on just money in general?
Yeah, man. You know, I think it's a, tool. You know, it matters. It matters as much as if it, you know, whoever I'm talking to, you know, if it doesn't matter to the person I'm talking to, it really doesn't matter to me. If it matters to them, you know, it still doesn't matter to me too, but I respect it. You know, I like to respect people and I like to respect, but I mean, with money, you know, it gives levels of freedom, if you want to say that. But like I say, you could be homeless and be free. So it's just what do you want mentally, you know, and what are you looking for in your life? So money, I really can't, you know, because I don't know, you know, I don't know. That's one of those things that, you know, it's a soulless answer for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, what do you think about just the idea of like flexing and like, what is this flexing culture in hip hop and how do you react to it?
Yeah. You know, I think it's the flexing culture in hip hop is largely due to a lot of, you know, people that come from the hip hop culture, usually are extremely low income, poverty, you know, little to no wealth, little to no generational wealth. So a lot of these people that are in the hip hop lifestyle, not all of them, but a lot, you know, are coming pretty much, you know, low self-esteem. A lot of different aspects. And, you know, the flexing gives people a perception of you that, you know, you have it, or you're not worrying, or a perception of freedom to spend. But also, you know, the flexing culture can represent something else on the flip side, on just people like what they like, or, you know, people like shiny things, or people, I mean, because I like cars a lot. I really do. Cars are fun, man. You know, the jewelry and stuff, that's fun, man. It's fun. A lot of the flexing culture, I mean, big houses and stuff, they're fun. But, you know, it's, I think that's as far as what it is. And it's like, but can you still have fun in a tiny one bedroom place? You know, can you still have fun with no jewelry? Can you still have fun with a bike? Maybe no car.
I think you can have fun with a bike, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. But not everybody thinks like that.
Do you have any thoughts about how crypto could change rap? You know, they talk a lot about, like, you know, there's, like, Facebook's creating a crypto that's going to pay, you know, people for using the product. Do you have any, like, you know, thoughts in general on how crypto could change rap?
You know, I'm interested in it. You know, I'm getting a lot of people that contact me about crypto and give me their opinions on it. I'm not really into it yet, but I mean, I want to ask you personally, what do you think about Ripple? I hear a lot about that. Yeah, Ripple coin.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know too much about like the specific coins or anything. I know that, I mean, I can hit up some of my friends who are into it, and I'm sure they'd love to speak with you. But
yeah, love that.
But I guess, like, you know, like this idea of like, think about all the, like, you know, value that people like you, I think you in particular, have actually driven value for Twitter and for MySpace and stuff like that. But then all of the other like hip hop artists who, like, you know, people use, a lot of people use YouTube just to watch rappers, you know, and like you get some money from YouTube, but not, you know, not as much as, you know, if, you know, as much money as YouTube's getting. And then same with like Facebook, with Facebook, and even with specifically Twitter, you don't get, like, if you get a tweet, if you make a good tweet that gets, you know, millions of, you know, likes or whatever, or hundreds of thousands of likes, you don't get any cash for that. You know, you've written something that's impacted people, and that's
right.
But like, you don't get any money. And I feel like, what do you think about like compensation for creativity?
I love that. And I think that that's going to be a big deal within the future. And, you know, something that is very important. And, you know, the next legend, and that was something I've been thinking about too, but I'll give it to your generation and tell you like this, the next legend that creates that, the compensation for creativity, they're going to be set, because that's what it's about, man. And whoever can fill that void, because that's what, you know, a lot of these apps and you know, genius invention is just following it all the way through and filling that void that's needed, you know. And there's a lot of gaps that society needs. I mean, you see Uber filled the void, you know what I'm saying? What is it? Airbnb filled the void.
Yeah.
You know, these hotel booking apps filled the void.
Yeah.
You know, flight apps. So yeah. Fill the void, you know?
Yeah. And like, I mean, do you think that as someone who's got a big presence on social media, do you feel like that's something you should be compensated for? Like, or, I mean, if you think about Twitter. Twitter is where they get billions of dollars every year, but then Twitter users get nothing.
I think that'll be great. That's if, you know, Twitter finds a way to scale that, or, you know, make it happen. I would be open. I would be open, and I think that'll be a great thing to, you know, compensate its users. That would be beautiful, man. That'll definitely be beautiful.
Yeah, man. Well, I think you should hit up Jack Dorsey. Tell him
you're right. Yeah, man.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. I honestly, you know, that's something to think about. If you what should I tell him?
Dude, I think that's the philosophy of crypto, from what I've understood, is that they're trying to move the internet to be, you know, the people who like help create the internet. So the content creators like you should be getting compensated for the content that you create. And not just like the music, because I'm sure you get money from YouTube, but just like also the, you know, like Twitter, Instagram, everything. Like I think I remember when I was a kid, when I was in middle school, I'd go on, have you heard of this thing called soccer memes on Facebook? It's like it's a meme page.
I haven't, no.
Well, it's a meme page where they do like post memes about soccer players. And I remember I would always get like top comment because I was so into soccer when I was a kid. And it's like, I think you should get something more than like, you know, now they've given you a badge, but I think you should get, you know, some compensation for that. And I think you're literally Lil B. So you should be, you know, you should hit up Jack Dorsey, who's into crypto, and tell him, you know, like content creators on Twitter should get, you know, compensated for the content that they create. Because think about these people who write really, you know, powerful tweets, or there's been things that have broken on Twitter, you know, like news stories that have broken on Twitter. And I think that people should get paid for that.
Yeah, you're right. You're definitely right, man. And I'll consider that. Thank you. And I, you know, and who knows, he might hear this.
Yeah, maybe, man. Yeah. I hope I would love it if he did. But just to kind of wrap it up, you know, do you have any advice you'd give to college students who, you know, are one, you know, during quarantine, and then also recent grads like myself who are, you know, entering a really bad job economy? Do you have any thoughts, you know, or a piece of advice?
Yeah. You know, one of the best things that you can have is education. So don't ever let anybody tell you, you know, because you hear a lot of people sometimes say, well, you know, this billionaire dropped out of college, or this blah, 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 or, you know, these entrepreneurs didn't go to school. But the main thing is that you guys went all the way through. You graduated. So huge congratulations. And that's something that no one could ever take away from you, and no one could take away your mind. Besides if you go crazy, but hopefully not. You know what I'm saying? So and that's just a joke, because you probably still retain that beautiful mind that you guys have. But, you know, don't feel bad if one thing. Stay, you know, vigilant. Stay, you know, focused, as in, okay, if one thing doesn't happen, or the next thing, or if it does happen, this is going to be preparing me to go to my next phase, you know? So continue to just think about it as phases. You get this, your first job, bam, that's going to lead you to another position, and or it's going to lead you to a higher position, or it's going to inspire you to create software, design create a law, or do whatever that, you know, or start your own company, you know, pivot off what you know, from your last job. And as long as they don't have any clause in your contract about competition, which I don't think you guys will be competing, but
do you have any advice for creativity specifically? Like, how do you, you know, like now with, you know, AI and whatever, you have to be more in touch with your creative and human aspect of your personality or whatever. Do you have any advice for someone who's very spiritual and creative like yourself on how other people can be like that?
Yeah, just stay in touch with your spiritual aspect. You know, take times where you're less data, you know, less data driven, which I understand, you know, going through school, you're probably going to be 100% data driven, which is necessary. But sometimes go off your gut, go off your gut instinct, go from your, you know, how do you feel about this, instead of what is presented or what's the evidence presented to me or what's the information presented. You know, take the information from your inner that has no judgment. You know, don't judge yourself. Come with from a place of peace, love, and spiritual, and ask yourself, would I do this for free? Is the job I'm doing, would I do this for free? Find what you would do for free, and that's how you know you're gonna make money. You know, like, I would make music for free regardless if I got paid or not. It's just a blessing that I get paid from it, you know? But regardless, I'll be making music, you know? Regardless, I would be in field, like some type of field that I can help people or be working with people or be marketing or, you know, just around, involved with people and thinkers and having a level of freedom. That, because that's special to me. I want freedom, you know, and I want to be around great people and do it on my time, meet with great people like yourself, thinkers, and just amazing people on my time. So you college students that have graduated, once again, congratulations, and you're on your way, you know, to the job market. You know, take your time and just ask yourself, what do you guys love to do? What would you love to do? Payment or not. And if you got to have a job, and if the job that you're entering is not what you would do for free, make sure your hobby, make sure you got a hobby while you have a job. Because when you have that hobby, build your hobby, build your passion. Excuse me. You know, you got your hobbies, but then you got the passion. You know, have your passion on the side too. You know, so whatever, you got your job, but make sure you got the passion that you're working on too. So every time you go to work, you know, and you come back home, and your passion might be, you know, building a mini bridge or building a mini dam, you know, a miniature water dam in your back, you know, in your backyard or something. Yeah. So every day after work, you start building that dam, man. And once you're finished building that dam, you're going to say, wow. And you might talk to somebody in your local government or some artist and say, hey, look, I just built a dam in my backyard. And they say, you know what? Come work for the government, or come, you know, premiere this at our art show. And you'll say, wow, I don't got to work anymore.
Yeah.
Because now my work is fun. This is what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, do you have any advice for getting into music in general, or specifically rap?
Yes, so specifically rap and music, just come in. You know, pay respects, listen to it, listen to music, embrace it. Try not to have a closed-minded attitude about it and think that stuff is whack or stuff is bad. Come in, because you want to be embraced too, right? Like, you want people to embrace your music and love it. So come in with an open, loving heart. Don't feel bad when people give you feedback, whether it be critical, good, or bad. Appreciate that you have listeners. And But come in as you please, come in as you are, and make music and give us a piece of your spirit, a piece of your experience, because the world knows, and I know that that us in hip hop and the world, we need it, because hip hop is, you know, a part of the bigger picture, which is the world. Yeah. So, you know, give it to the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess the last thing would just be any advice for how to market yourself, you know, in on social media.
Yeah. So like I said, if look at your follower count with, across your social media platforms. If you got over one follower, you're lucky. Use that following to your advantage, you know, because you got to think about the followers. Think about, look, you know, you don't got to tell me how many followers you have, right? But pick a social media platform, okay? Pick one. Tell me which one you pick.
Instagram.
Okay, Instagram. In your mind, think about how many followers do you have? Is it over one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And is it over 100 or no?
Yeah.
Wow, you're lucky. So now think about it like this. Think about, imagine all your followers and Instagram in your house right now.
Yeah.
Not including the bots that follow you. So not including the bots. Yeah. Hopefully none of them are bots.
Sure.
So think about how many people that is.
That's how, yeah.
That's a lot of people. Yeah. And
even with this, this podcast, I think will hopefully get, you know, like 1,000 views or something.
And yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
And it's about the quality of person, you know, because it'll probably get 1,000 views or how many. And at the same time, it's about, it might be a special person like yourself that's listened to it and it changes their life forever. And they say, you know what, I gotta contact this guy, man. And we gotta work together because, you know what, he has a great spirit and I want to just support him. You know, I just want to support his music because I like this guy and I want to give him a chance. So that's a big thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, dude, thank you for your time, Lil B. It means a lot for you to, you know, come speak with me and come speak to my listeners. And dude, thank you for your advice. I think it was really good. You're a very spiritual guy. And I know that, you know, we're going through some rough times, so hopefully your spirituality is, you know, staying above water. But thank you.
No, thank you so much, and love to your listeners and everybody. And Little B loves y'all. The Bass Guy loves y'all. Stay positive, swag based, and a Little B forever, man. New art coming soon from me. Just stay tuned, stay put. I got some special stuff on the way.